Governor Scott has kicked off the 2017 legislative session with his annual State of the State address. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of Bay Care Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. Bay Care's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. Lawmakers will spend the next 60 days trying to hammer out a new balanced budget and deal with a number of issues, from gambling and guns to tax cuts, school spending, and economic development programs. Scott is heading into his final 2 years in office. Our program features portions of his speech and a Democratic response.
Over the coming weeks, we will have many debates over bills and policies. But what unites us will always make us be stronger than what divides us. And what unites us is the resiliency of our great state. After every challenge, every heartbreak, and every tragedy, Florida comes back stronger and better anytime we are knocked down. Since I last stood here to address you, Florida has endured many heartbreaks. I have prayed for families around our state who have been impacted by tragedy. My own heart has been broken many times. Our state has been rocked by the gruesome terrorist attack at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. We endured two hurricanes, fought against the rapid spread of the Zika virus, and were devastated by the deadly Fort Lauderdale airport shooting. While heartbreaking, these tragedies have given me a new perspective. I am now more convinced than ever that the future of our great state is even greater than our past accomplishments, and that we must be even more resolved to build a society where any child, no matter where they're from, has the opportunity to live their dream. If there is one thing you remember from this speech today, I hope it is this. Florida is a state full of fighters, and I personally will never stop fighting for our families. Floridians are strong. Floridians are selfless. Floridians are fighters. I've had the opportunity to meet so many great Floridians during my 6 years as governor. I have been forever changed by all the incredible people I've met this past year during some of our state's most challenging times. Nothing could have prepared me for the horror we saw on June 12, 2016, when a terrorist inspired by ISIS stormed into Pulse and senselessly killed 49 innocent people. This was a horrible terrorist attack, and 49 brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, friends, and spouses were murdered. The days I spent in Orlando following the shooting will always be with me. I talked to many parents who lost their children. I remember sitting with one mom who recounted her son's last 48 hours on earth, how he died a hero because he died trying to save a friend's life. I met with an injured victim whose TV was turned off in his hospital room. His family needed to wait to tell him that his partner had been killed and didn't want him to find out from the news. I went to wakes and funerals to mourn with the families as they said their final goodbyes. The hardest thing I've ever had to do as governor is to try to find the words to console a family or to a parent who lost their child. I truly cannot imagine the grief of losing a child or a grandchild. Amid the horror and terror of that night, we also saw what bravery and heroism looks like. We saw many first responders rush to the scene. First responders like SWAT team member Officer Michael Napolitano with the Orlando Police Department. Without fear or hesitation, Officer Napolitano and his fellow SWAT members confronted the terrorist, and during the standoff, his Kevlar helmet stopped a bullet which saved his life. We're proud to call you a Floridian. Thank you for your courage to serve in the face of evil, and thank you for fighting for Florida family. In order to keep fighting to support public safety in our state, we have to ensure Florida's law enforcement officers have the resources they need to curb senseless violence and crime. That is why I have recommended nearly $6 million for counterterrorism efforts this year. We have worked so hard to grow jobs and together have been able to implement policies that have turned our economy around for our future generations. But we cannot stop now. Florida businesses have created over 1.26 million private sector jobs since I was elected. Including more than 237,000 new jobs just last year. Our job growth rate is growing more than twice as fast as the national rate. Our economy is booming, and I'm glad that America elected my friend, Donald Trump, a business person, outsider like myself, as a president who is focused on growing the national economy. Florida is on the verge of becoming the job creation capital of the world, and the fight for jobs continues. And that means we have to keep cutting taxes. Together, we have cut taxes 55 times, saving families $6.5 billion. But we must do more. This year, I'm fighting to cut taxes by $618 million to cut costs for small businesses, students, veterans, teachers, and families. Our Fighting for Florida's Future tax cut package will boost our economy, encourage businesses of all sizes to create jobs, and build opportunities for generations of Floridians. Let's remember, when jobs are created, it helps the poorest, most disadvantaged families who need a job the most. Families just like mine when I was growing up. One of the taxes we're fighting to cut is the commercial lease tax, which unfairly targets small businesses. Small businesses like Hot Panda Yuca in Miami, Dave Fiddle Foundry, David opened his business that specializes in making traditional Colombian baked goods when he first arrived in Miami from Colombia in 1998. The factory started with only 3 employees and has grown to employ 30 people. However, all 3 of his locations have commercial leases. David has said that he is very proud to grow his business in Florida, and if we can cut this unfair tax, he could grow his business even more. So Florida is now the only state in the nation to tax commercial leases. Our Fighting for Florida's Future tax cut package will begin to repeal this unfair tax and help small businesses like Hot Panda Yuca. David, you're a great example of the many people living the American dream right here in the great state of Florida. Thank you for fighting to create jobs for future generations. Even more important than continuing to cut taxes in our state is that we prevent against unfair tax increases in the future, so our progress is not undone. My goal before I leave office is that we work together on a solution to make it harder for any future legislature, even one not as conservative as we have here today, to raise taxes. This year, we also have the privilege to fight for those who have served our country. I'm proud to be a Navy veteran, and I know that many of you in the legislature and in the audience also proudly served our nation. Will every veteran and active service member now please stand? I want to thank each of you for choosing to serve our state and our nation. I want to make sure that Florida is the most military and veteran-friendly state in the nation. And our budget proposes $102 million to support active military, veterans, and their families. And I am proposing a three-day sales tax holiday for our veterans and active service members. We have to do more than just cut taxes to ensure we have a strong economy for the future. We cannot be short-sighted and think we are immune from another national recession in years ahead. We have to keep diversifying our economy and invest in programs that actually help businesses grow jobs right here in Florida. Let me be very direct about this subject. I've been on the other side. I've run small and large businesses. I've been the person who looks at locations, looks at states and compares them, and decides where to expand, where to grow business, where to create jobs. I know exactly how businesses operate because I've done it. For our state to simply say, we are not going to compete with other states, we are not going to make it easier to incentivize job creators to grow in Florida, that's just a big mistake for our state and for our families. Incentivizing businesses to grow and create more and better jobs is not welfare. And let's be very clear here. EFI does not provide any funding until jobs are created and capital is invested. I know what it's like to be poor. I've lived in poverty. I watched my parents struggle to put food on the table. When most kids were playing Little League or riding bikes, I had a job. I had no other choice but to start working when I turned 7. I went from delivering papers to opening a small business so my mom could have a job, to running the largest healthcare company in the world, employing hundreds of thousands of individuals. I've had to worry about making payroll, and I've signed the front of paychecks. It's easy to throw out catchphrases like picking winners and losers and corporate welfare. By the way, I don't like either of those things. I doubt anybody in this chamber does. But that's not what we're doing. We are competing with 49 other states and hundreds of countries for jobs. When we bring new jobs to Florida, there are only winners. When we help existing Florida companies grow, there are only winners. When we help an idea become a business that employs people, there are only winners. I will admit, it's probably more difficult for people who have never gone hungry, or gone through foreclosure, or seen their family car repossessed to understand this. If you've never lived through these experiences, it may be harder to understand the urgency. But I would just leave it like this. I am fighting for our state's jobs programs because I'm fighting for families like mine growing up. Enterprise Florida has been responsible for over 900 projects since I got elected, including helping businesses like Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, and Hertz add thousands of high-wage jobs in our state. And we can easily show a great return on investment of families' tax dollars because more jobs are being created as companies move to our state. When we announced Hertz was moving the corporate headquarters to Florida from New Jersey in 2013 and adding 700 new high-wage jobs, it was the first major relocation by a Fortune 500 company while I've been governor. And soon after Hertz moved their headquarters to Bonita Springs, Herc Rentals decided to move their headquarters to Florida from New Jersey. Herc Rentals has already created 300 jobs for families in Florida. This is how growing an economy works. You build an environment for companies to be successful, and others will join.
It's a legislative session preview with excerpts of Governor Scott's State of the State address. Coming up,
do we really have to argue about how important tourism is to the Florida economy? Do we really have to debate about whether marketing or advertising works?
I'm Kirsten Cooper. More in a moment, including the Democratic response. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters. Now more from Governor Scott's State of the State address.
I want to be very clear in acknowledging that both Visit Florida and Enterprise Florida have made mistakes, along with their many successes over the years. And I do not fault anyone for pointing out those mistakes. Anytime we can eliminate government waste, we should do it. But just like what we do in the business world, we have made changes at both agencies so the organizations can be more efficient and more transparent. Any CEO or business owner will tell you that unfortunately mistakes are made sometimes. But you don't just give up and shut down. Take your ball and go home. You figure out what the problem is and you fix it. Let's remember, we are talking about people's jobs and their ability to provide for their family. Tourism is one of our state's top sources of revenue. And if that declines, we will set our state on a course for either tax increases or cuts in services. These are the facts. Getting rid of Visit Florida and ending advertising for tourism doesn't make any sense in the real world. Successful companies know how to market themselves, and they don't stop advertising when business is good. Coca-Cola and Chick-fil-A didn't stop running ads when they reached the top of their industry. Think about it for a minute. Do we really have to argue about how important tourism is to the Florida economy? Do we really have to debate about whether marketing or advertising works? Visit Florida has been responsible for recruiting record numbers of visitors, a record of nearly 113 million visitors last year. Florida still have tourists if we stop advertising? Sure. We're going to have less. That's going to mean less jobs, less tax revenue, less of everything. When it comes to jobs, I'm for more, not less. Every 76 tourist supports one Florida job. And tourism helps thousands of small businesses that rely on visitors. I've told you why we can't stop now in our fight for jobs, but we also can't stop in our fight to improve our education system. I'm proud that this year we are able to once again invest historic amounts of funding in K-12 education, state colleges, and universities in our budget. We're also fighting to keep higher education affordable by holding the line on tuition for the fourth year in a row. Freezing all fees at our state colleges and universities, and capping tuition at our state colleges. We're also continuing to make historic strides to protect Florida's lands, ensure that the future of our state's pristine environment is beautiful for generations to come. Our budget invests nearly $4 billion in our environment, with record funding once again for our springs and funding for the Indian River Lagoon and Caloosahatchee Cleanup Initiative. We're making important investments in public safety, our transportation infrastructure, and investing in our state's ability to combat the Zika virus. And we're making important investments to help people with unique abilities, including $3.3 million in new funding to provide employment services to more than 2,500 individuals with disabilities who are ready to work. There are so many wonderful Florida employers that provide great jobs to people with unique abilities, including Habco Manufacturing in Boca Raton. Habco employs 200 Floridians which include 150 employees with unique abilities. One of HABCO's leaders is with us today, Linda Cook. Linda worked to turn HABCO, this is a very good story, worked from turning HABCO into a multi-million dollar manufacturing facility so people with unique abilities had the opportunity to get job training, and a great career. Linda, thanks for your commitment to helping so many people in your community. The great news is Florida has all the resources we need to make these important investments, along with cutting taxes. Since 2011, our state's economy has grown by 22%, and our available revenues exceed current expenses by $2.8 billion. Think about that. We have $2.8 billion available while still providing $5 billion in reserves. We have the funds to fight for Florida's future while controlling spending, to ensure we get the best return on the investment of our citizens' hard-earned tax money. The future of Florida is even greater than our past. Let me leave you with this idea. We've made a lot of progress here in Florida, but we cannot be happy just staying put. Let's paint the picture of what we want Florida to look like in the future. Let's make that future happen. Together, let's picture Florida as a model for success. If we make sure this is the state that every child, no matter what their background, can get a great education, then we'll have the future that we all can be proud of. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Take care. God bless our great state. Thanks. Thank
you. And now a Democratic response from Senate Minority Leader Oscar Brannon of Miami.
For the past 7 years, Governor Scott has talked a lot about the economy. It's all about jobs, he says. Well, he's right. We couldn't agree more. Everyone needs work. Everyone needs a job. The problem is the kinds of jobs he's bringing home to Florida. Because the majority of our jobs are great for teenagers or someone just starting out, but not for someone with skills, with training, with a strong work history, or family to support. They're not the kind of jobs that let you save for that new car, that down payment on a new house, or your kids' future education. They're not the kind of jobs that invest in the people. And it's that commitment to investing in the people that's been missing from too many areas in the 7 years since Governor Scott first took office. In states like Michigan, Arizona, and even Vice President Mike Pence's home state of Indiana, the governors didn't stand in the way of the people getting affordable health care. They realize that bankrupting residents because of a medical emergency isn't the way to prosperity. They realize that the national health care law not only brought more medical coverage for people, but more good-paying jobs in the healthcare field. They knew that you can't work if you're sick. You can't give 100% if your body's operating at half power. And you can't take care of others if you can't take care of yourself. Time and time again, Governor Scott had the chance to do the right thing, to invest in the people by expanding health care coverage in Florida. But he didn't. He gave the public's money away in big tax breaks to big companies instead. It was a fool's errand. From conservative think tanks to top economists, there's widespread agreement that the way to lure top companies with the top paying jobs isn't just dangling tax dollars in front of them. Florida has been and is one of the lowest tax states for businesses in the country. Business executives want what the rest of us do, and it all comes down to quality of life. Good schools and top-notch universities, quality affordable health care, efficient transportation, and clean water and air. They want more than just a state that sells itself as cheap. So as Governor Scott continues his sales pitch for more dollars for more of his corporate tax cuts, ask him about that big shortfall the state is facing because of these very same policies and his broken promises to turn Florida around. Ask him about the green sludge fouling Florida's waters because money was never committed for prevention. Ask him why we're stuck near the bottom in high school graduation rates and educating our preschool kids. Ask him why 9,000 more people with developmental disabilities age 21 or older are waitlisted for services, or why we're at the bottom of the national pack in our commitment to services for the mentally ill, or basic access to health care. and ask him why investments in people just aren't as important as the people's money for his tax incentives. If you had the chance, what would you choose? More jobs paying minimum wage, or jobs you could brag about? Jobs you were proud of? Jobs that were taking you somewhere? If you had a chance, would you check the box for fewer doctors, less medical services, and higher costs? Or would you check the box for a family doctor, preventative services, and treatment you can afford? As Democrats, we believe in the right choices, the ones that deliver the good jobs we need, the affordable health care we're missing. We believe in a future that aims higher, that wraps the hopes and dreams of every man and every woman struggling to hold on into one unified march for better opportunities now, not some faraway date in the future. And we believe that the way that you do this is by investing in the people. Start with education, the great equalizer, and start young. Commit the money our public schools desperately need to shore up crumbling buildings. Pay better salaries to our teachers entrusted with educating our children, and provide the tools students need to stand second to none. Embrace health care coverage for all Floridians. The financial sense it makes, not just eliminating expensive back-end treatment, but a boon in new high-paying jobs. And rethink opportunity and second chances by eliminating criminal records for minor drug and nonviolent offenses so that job offers don't vanish with the application form. All of this was missing from Governor Scott's State of the State speech today. It's been missing for the past 7 years. For all his campaigning as an outsider, his politics have been focused on the well-being of the insiders. His promised tax cuts mostly tailored for the well-off, while the tax bills went to everyone else. In his first campaign for president, former President Obama said, "Our government should work for us, not against us. It should help us, not hurt us. It should ensure opportunity, not just for those with the most money and influence, but for every American who's willing to work. That's the promise of America. That's the promise of Florida, too. And that's the promise that Democrats intend to keep. Thank you."
This wraps up our Florida Matters special report, Governor Rick Scott's State of the State address to kick off the 2017 Florida legislative session. 60 days of lawmaking to go, and you can stay on top of the session here and on our website, WUSFnews.org. Florida Matters is produced by Stephanie Colombini. State of the State coverage was produced by Mary Shedden, our engineer Craig George, and Florida Matters is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.